The World Health Organization announced last week that it will officially classify gaming disorder as a mental health condition in its 11th edition of its International Classification of Diseases. That's good news for many parents around the world who have watched as their kids seemed glued to the screen, playing video games as compulsively as drug users.
But not all psychologists agree with the move. The Media Psychology and Technology Division of the American Psychological Association released a statement calling the decision, quote, more appropriate. Product of moral panic than good science, end quote. And UNICEF argued against using addiction language to describe children and their use of technology.
Dr. Kimberly Young is not one of those who question this move, though. She is the founder of the Center for Internet Addiction, and she thinks officially classifying gaming addiction will only help those who suffer from addictions like this. I spoke with her more about it all via Skype.
Well, sure. I mean, we use the same clinical criteria as other addictive disorders. I mean, a compulsive tendency towards the behavior. A hallmark of any addiction is that it causes a problem. You see a lot of young men in particular failing school, or maybe losing a job, or they can't hold a job, having no relationships. So those might be consequences of their behavior. They lose interest in other activities. Maybe they used to like baseball and now all they want to do is game. I mean, you're really starting to talk about where the behavior becomes the central part of somebody's life, and it becomes problematic, or their life becomes unmanageable because of it.
So an addiction basically like any other addiction, but just to gaming.
Exactly.
Okay. So let's talk about what the World Health Organization has done here. They're formally recognizing gaming addiction. Why do you think that this is a good thing?
Well, I think it legitimizes what the research has shown for two decades. I mean, we've known that internet gaming is a significant problem. Especially other countries like China, Korea, Taiwan have definitely seen the growth and preponderance of the evidence saying that this is a problem, gaming disorder. And even in the U.S., we acknowledge internet gaming disorder as a condition worthy of future study. So we've singled this out as a specific area of concern. I think, quite frankly, it's sort of like the nicotine industry. You know, we knew for decades nicotine was addictive. Yet we glamorize smoking in you know, movie stars and Joe Camel with teenagers. And it really wasn't until there was a big class action lawsuit that we said, oh, you know, nicotine's addictive. You know, unfortunately, with the internet gaming, we haven't had that big tipping point yet to widely acknowledge it. But we have had this with the World Health Organization acknowledging it. I mean, it really does open up doors for health insurance to get reimbursement to patients who need it. It gives doctors criteria to look for with patients. So those are some of the benefits, I think.
Yeah. So you've been looking at internet addiction, gaming addiction for a long time. Are we seeing a growth in this? Like, are there more people who are becoming addicted to gaming and who are being diagnosed with this?
Well, obviously. Look, I've studied this for 20 years. Internet gaming was a problem 20 years ago, even though we had primitive technology. Games like Dungeons and Dragons and multi-user role-playing games were still one of the main problem areas of internet addiction 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, games have become more efficient. I mean, the gaming industry does hire behavioral psychologists to make the games addictive. I mean, that's well published in the literature, and we all know that. So it's not a surprise that young people are addicted to it, because sometimes it's not even their fault. It's what the game makers are designing. And I think now we're becoming to that point of really acknowledging that this has become a problem.
There are many, though, out there who will say that this is not a common addiction and that it's not a mental illness. And it's like technology does not equal a drug. What do you say to that?
Well, we have many things, like, for example, gambling, that don't involve intoxicants that are listed as addictions. They're compulsive disorders. And that's what internet addiction is a compulsive disorder that doesn't involve an intoxicant. So, you know, it would be refuting, you know, decades of research that looks at things like gambling, food, or sex, and not acknowledging those as addictions.
So what do you hope that this recognition from the WHO does? You mentioned that it'll open up some doors in terms of coverage, insurance coverage. But for the people who will be diagnosed with this, how do you hope this changes things?
Well, you know, one, it validates a patient's experience. Like, up until this point, if you didn't have doctors knowing to even look for it, to screen for it, they might overlook it in an initial clinical exam. Hopefully then, we'll develop treatment models, evidence-based treatment models, now that we know what we're looking for. With school systems, hopefully we'll put in prevention programs, not just about gaming, but about technology in general. You know, it's not just about naming something and pathologizing a behavior, but it's also about just benefiting balanced, healthy use of technology, not necessarily banning it, but just saying, how can we live with this better and improve our relationships? And I think those are some of the long-term features of acknowledging that there is a potential problem with technology addiction.
All right. Dr. Kimberly Young with the Center for Internet Addiction, thank you so much for joining us to talk about this today.
Well, thank you for having me.
On the other side of this argument is Dr. Chris Ferguson. He was one of the 28 scholars who wrote to the WHO protesting this decision. He calls the idea of a gaming disorder a myth based on worries about the effects of technology in today's society. And he says classifying it as a mental health condition could have real consequences.
I think probably most, you know, scholars would agree that, you know, some people certainly overdo gaming, but it's not clear that gaming is unique in that respect. You know, so people overdo a wide variety of activities like exercise and work and shopping, and there are even papers on dance addiction, of all things. And so there's not really much evidence to suggest that games are uniquely addictive. The evidence we have now suggests that to the extent that people overdo something like gaming, that is typically a coping mechanism rather than a disorder.
So you're arguing essentially that this is not comparable to something like alcoholism, where technology is your liquor.
Oh, goodness, no, no, no. The evidence is very clear that even if we were to think of these things as maybe being like a behavioral overuse disorder, they are in no way comparable to addictions to substances. It's sort of like the typical thing you hear is that just like cocaine, video games release dopamine in the pleasure centers of the brain, which in some ways is kind of like technically true, but quite literally so does stroking a cat. Anything that is fun actually releases dopamine in these areas of the brain. And there's also concern that the evidence we have now suggests that to the extent that people overdo something like gaming, that is typically a coping mechanism rather than a disorder. It's oftentimes kind of a red flag for people who have an underlying mental health condition like depression or anxiety, or in some cases autism spectrum disorders, and that by focusing in on the symptom, you know, that you may end up with situations in which people are being treated for a symptom or even having a coping mechanism removed, but the actual underlying disorder isn't really being treated.
So I also spoke with someone who is on the other side of this argument, who founded the Center for Internet Addiction, and says that this is a really good thing, that there are decades of research that point to the fact that technology, gaming in particular, can be addictive. She talked about countries like South Korea, that where they have government programs in place to help people who are seemingly addicted to internet and gaming, and those are good things. Would you say that they're just kind of spinning their wheels there?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, South Korea does have a shutdown law that is attempting to prevent minors access to the internet between midnight and I believe 6 a.m. There actually was a research paper that came out last year that demonstrated that that law is ineffective. And, you know, there definitely have been decades of research on this topic. That is accurate. But to market that research as if it clearly demonstrates anything in particular is certainly inaccurate. The research evidence is at best a mess. And I would say that a lot of it is not very transparent. You know, a lot of it has not been very well done. We still don't know things like, even if we kind of think of there being a, you know, kind of a gaming overuse disorder, we don't know what the symptoms are. And in fact, the World Health Organization didn't bother to list any symptoms for that very reason. So we don't really know how to conceptualize this thing or again, if it even really is exactly its own, you know, standalone disorder.
So would you say, though, that we should not be concerned about the amount of time that particularly young people are spending on the internet on things like gaming?
Well, I mean, I think it's like anything else. Everything should be done in a balance, and, you know, too much time on any activity can be problematic. The things for parents to watch for with their kids are really not perhaps worrying about so much time kids spend on technology, but more, is the technology use in a good balance with everything else? Are the kids' grades okay? You know, are they getting enough sleep? Are they getting enough exercise? You know, are they generally healthy? I mean, most of the parents, you know, and I do some clinical practice as well, but most of the parents I see tend to, you know, be saying, I worry my kid is addicted to technology because I see them spending a lot of time doing things that I don't want them to do. And that's not an addiction. You know, that's just a generational kind of, it's kids today with their music in their hair is what that is. Like I said, even if you kind of take this concept seriously, the studies we have suggest that, like with gaming, that the prevalence of gaming disorder is 1% or less among gamers. So this is not like an epidemic sweeping the world. You know, this is not something that every kid has. The evidence suggests that this is probably much more of a moral panic, you know, society's concerns about technology, which, you know, we see throughout history is usually being overblown.
Then the question becomes, what harm does it do then to add this specific gaming addiction as a disorder by the WHO? Like, is there any real problem that this could create by doing that, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. There are multiple problems. One of the things we're already seeing, you know, or at least we're getting some rumbles of, is that educators are going to start pulling back from including technology in educational settings because they're afraid of parents who are going to be irate over video game addiction or other technology addictions and stuff like that. There are, you know, real concerns about some of the human rights issues coming from this that, you know, it's probably not going to be a big deal in countries like the U.S. that have, you know, significant free speech protections. But in countries like China, you know, or other authoritarian countries, the WHO actually did, you know, in an email exchange I had with them, acknowledged that they were under pressure from Asian countries to make this diagnosis happen. You know, so there, you may see some more authoritarian regimes use this, you know, as an excuse to defend some of those policies regarding speech, you know, and there's just the concern you're going to get predatory clinics that are, this is going to be a financial issue and there's going to be money to be made of, you know, over this. And I'm not saying that, you know, every clinic is going to be predatory necessarily, but there is a concern that this is going to open up a market for really bad, ineffective therapies that could do a lot more harm than good for the kids or adults who end up in those clinics.
All right. Dr. Chris Ferguson, psychology professor at Stetson University, thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you for having me on today. It was a pleasure.